Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
Thank you for being here. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. And we did have a great time Sunday. Just an outstanding message by Pastor Brandon. I told somebody, I've heard him preach a lot of great messages. That's the best I've ever heard him preach. And they said, I already told him that. And I said, that's the reason why he's acting like that. No, I didn't. It really was a great message, Pastor. Praise God. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. You may be seated. Praise God. Who's run the sound? You made an adjustment which made it just perfect. Thank you very much. I just want to talk to you for a few moments on the subject. Can you hear what I hear? Can you hear what I hear? You know, the physical ability to hear is a precious thing, to be able to hear. All of the senses that we have physically are precious gifts from God. Somebody said, would you rather be blind or would you rather be deaf? I'd rather not even enter into that stupid conversation. That's what I'd rather. The spiritual ability to hear is even a greater gift than the physical ability to hear. As great as it is to be able to physically hear, and most people that are on the planet today can physically hear, but most people can't spiritually hear. Not even most Christian people. We haven't been trained to hear. We haven't been coached and coaxed that we ought to be hearing people. And a lot of people don't believe that God's even speaking. So if God doesn't speak today, what good would it do to have a hearing ear? But God is speaking, and God is speaking profoundly. And so in this text, God indicates there are those that can hear and those that can't hear. He said, he that hath an ear. In order to make that statement, there are people that don't have an ear. He's not talking here about the physical ear. He's talking about the spiritual ear. He that hath an ear, as opposed to those that do not have an ear. He that hath an ear, let him hear. You know, the Holy Ghost speaks to true believers that are sensitive to the Lord. The Bible said in the book of Acts, I love this, and it's said on numerous occasions in the book of Acts. I love the book of Acts because the book of Acts is really just the church in action. It's the actions of the Holy Spirit, but it's also the church in action. Where the epistles are letters of correction and instruction and promise, the book of Acts is actually doing it. It's actually what we are supposed to be doing as a church. And numerous times in the book of Acts, I'll read you just one illustration, but Acts 13:2, as they ministered in the Lord, in other words, they were worshiping, they were entertaining God's presence, and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, now that's the part that I like, in the book of Acts, that's reiterated time and again, and the Holy Ghost said, we don't hear that phrase much, and the Holy Ghost said. It's not that the Holy Ghost is not saying. It's that people are not hearing the Holy Ghost and what he is saying. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. This is just one of many examples in the book of Acts where it is recorded. And the Holy Ghost said. You know, I was passing through Little Rock, Arkansas many years ago, and I walked into a large restaurant. It's kind of a truck stop right off of the interstate there, and it was a large crowd of people. It was a noisy restaurant. It was a busy restaurant, and I had just sat down, and I was with some other people, and I was traveling somewhere to preach, and all of a sudden, I heard a voice say, Steve Fender, and way across the restaurant, a man stood up and started making his way over to my table. And I recognized who it was. It was a man by the name of Dick Masters. Dick's in heaven now. How's it going up there, brother? He's a wonderful evangelist, 20 years older than I was, I suppose. But he did not have any sight, no sight at all. And so I was not expected to be there. He was not expected to be there. He was passing through Little Rock. I was passing through Little Rock. And there was a great crowd of people, lots of noise. But through the din of that noise, he could hear my voice and recognized my presence by my voice. Because he was unsighted, and because he was unsighted, he had developed a sensitivity of hearing that would be totally foreign to most of us. The point is this. You've had people talking to you, and you know they're talking, but something's going on, and you're watching something take place out in the traffic or across the store or on the movie screen, or your attention is focused on what you're looking at, and so even though you realize they're talking, you're not really listening, and so you really don't hear what their conversation is. Sister Becky accuses me that of all the time, and I try to explain to her how multi-talented I am and how I can multitask, and I can talk to somebody else on the phone and hear her. I can watch a movie, read a book, drink a Coke, and eat a Twinkie all at the same time. She doesn't quite believe that. She wants my undivided attention. And the truth is, when we are engrossed in what we're looking at, we generally do not hear. And there are so many distractions in this world that we're looking at that most of us do not hear the voice of God. We have to become blinded to the things of this world in order to develop a hearing ear as God called it. So let's talk just a few moments here in the very onset about ways to develop a hearing ear. Number one, you have to limit the outside noise. You know, there's so much noise in this world. I read yesterday, in fact, the noise level that is in this country and in this world is just unbelievable. The damage to the human ear and the eardrum is just phenomenal. Most people will experience some damage to their ear in their lifetime simply because the noise levels are so high. They're so high at football games, at basketball games, at rock concerts, at Living Way Church. They're just that high. Just lots of noise going on. And so when there's so much noise, it's difficult to be able to pick out what the Bible describes as a still, small voice. And so if you want to become very sensitive to the voice of God, and you might say, why do I want to be sensitive to the voice of God? Oh, to be sensitive to the voice of the one that knows everything. He has seen the end from the beginning. He knows exactly the steps you ought to take, the decisions you ought to make, the relationships you ought to develop, and he would save you so much grief and so much pain and so much anxiety in your life if you could develop an ear that could hear that still, small voice. Not only that, because he knows everything from beginning to end, it would make you wealthy beyond your wildest imagination if you could hear the voice of God and let God become your counselor. Let God become your voice of instruction, how you invest your time, how you invest your treasure, how you make your investment in everything that you do. That's the reason why you want to be able to hear the voice of God. And above all of that, that he would school you in spiritual things that have eternal dividends. So it's really very incumbent upon us that we become sensitive and we develop an ear to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. The Spirit of God is saying, come. In other words, the Spirit of God has given us an invitation into the kingdom of God. One of the greatest analogies of separation in the Bible, it talks about the Gentiles, and it said they were expelled or they were restrained from the life of God. They could not participate in the life of God. Well, the Spirit is saying, come and enjoy life with me, because God has a great life. If you think God is bored, you don't know God. If you think God is not excited, you don't know God. God has a great life, and Jesus came to introduce us to that life. But it's not just a one-time thing. I've met a lot of people. I've met two or three presidents in my lifetime, and my friend Bryn Norton, he just always believes the best. He said, I guess you can just pick up the phone and call the president anytime you want to, can't you? I said, why no? He said, you mean you don't know him? No, I've met him. I've met two or three presidents, but I never did have that ability to call him. He said, well, I accepted Jesus. That's not the question. The question is, can you pick up your phone and call him every day? Can you talk to him every day? Well, you're not going to be able to do that if you are just bombarded with all the voices. The Bible said there are many voices, and you have to become spiritual to discern that one voice that is different from all the other many voices. And so we need to become, limit the outside noise, and number one. Number two, be sensitive. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Be sensitive to the voice of God. Number three, to be expectant. I'm expecting a phone call. I've got, people's word simply doesn't mean to me what it used to. If I say, I'm going to call you tomorrow, I'm going to call you tomorrow. I'm not going to tell you that. I've got friends that say, I'll call you tomorrow, and I won't hear from them for 2 weeks. I've got friends that say, I'll meet you at Outback tomorrow. I wouldn't no more show up over there because they ain't going to be there. I've got a friend one time, he said, I'm going to go to Los Angeles. You want to go with me? I said, Yeah, I know him like a book. I said, I will meet you. And this was not me that was introducing this, and I wouldn't do this, but I just know him. I said, I'll meet you in Dallas, such and such a terminal at noon. And he said, okay, I'll be there. Well, at noon, I'm still sitting in my office, but I called him. I said, brother, I'm in Dallas here at the terminal. Where are you? Oh, brother, I couldn't make it. I mean, you didn't show up. You didn't call me. You left me hanging. That's not one people. That's most people. Just do not keep their word. It's something that we as Christians need to work on. Just little things. We can depend on you. If you say you're going to show up, show up. You say you're going to call, call. You say you're going to give me an offering, give me an offering. Don't make promises you can't perform. Everybody likes to make promises, but performing them is something else. Way back when we first started this church, I had a little guy helping me. He was a wonderful guy, and he meant well. And he used to do some of my counseling. I had to get rid of that little counselor because if you went to him and said, look, I don't have a house to live in, he'll say, I'll have you a house by this time tomorrow. I have you a 4-bedroom, 3-bath house. And he meant it at the time. But come tomorrow, you're still standing on the street corner. He simply could not perform what he had promised. And friend, if you can't perform it, don't promise it. If you don't know if you're going to be there, don't tell people you're going to be there. They're depending on you to be there. They're arranging their schedule to be there. And so the Lord is very, very just in his performance. And so you need to be expectant. Talk to the Lord, and the Lord will not leave you hanging. The Lord will speak to you. So expect his voice. I expect God to give me direction. If I need to make a decision, I talk to the Lord and I wait and anticipate his call back. God speaks back to me. Be discerning. Be discerning the voice of God. Say, how can I discern the voice of God? The number one way is know the Word of God. God never contradicts himself. And so if you hear a voice, and it's something that's not in the Word of God, you know it's not God. It's your mind. It's the devil. It's your desire overcoming your wisdom. And so you say, well, maybe that was the Lord. There's no maybe the Lord about it. I've said this many times. Don't come to me and say, Pastor, I need some counseling. And you sit down and say, the first thing is the Lord told me. Number one, you need no counseling. Why would you need my advice if God told you? Because immediately I have no voice left. Well, I'm sorry, this time God's wrong. He doesn't want you to marry her. Why would you ask my opinion if the Lord said? And so you need to know the Word of God in order to be able to discern whether the voice you're hearing is simply something you ate, something somebody told you that you're reacting to, or it's the devil, or it is the voice of God talking to you. Number five, you need to become familiar with his voice. You know, very seldom do I identify myself when I call somebody. I just start talking because they need to know my voice. Why bother to talk to these people? They don't even know who I am. I'll be halfway in the conversation. I'll say, who is this? That always makes me mad. I just want to hang up. You're supposed to know my voice. Who'd you think it was? It's me. You didn't know that? Worse than that, to say, Pastor Brandon, is this you? No, it ain't Pastor Brandon. Can't you hear the wisdom and the experience in this voice? How could you confuse our voices? Seriously, you need to become familiar with the voice of God. I'm very familiar with the voice of God. It's the voice that's never told me wrong. It's the voice that has never misguided me. It's the voice that's never contradicted itself. It's the voice that never changed his mind. It's the voice that, you remember what I told you yesterday? Forget that. Now let's do this. That's the voice that I am very, very familiar with. John chapter 10, verse 1. Jesus was very emphatic about this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Knowing his voice is not the greatest deterrent to deception, but it's the second greatest. It's the second greatest deterrent to deception. The first is knowing God's word. Whatever is written, always in every world, what is written takes precedent over what is spoken. I've told that story so many times. They opened a racquetball and fitness club here in San Antonio in 1985, and I just got to town. That was in the day where I was playing a lot of racquetball. I immediately joined, and I don't remember what the dues were. They weren't that bad. But the owner saw me one day, and he said, hey, Steve, come in my office. He went in there. He said, look, if you'll give me X number of dollars, you'll be a lifetime member, and you'll never have to pay another dime for nothing. He was in a dire financial strait, and he told me how much. I said, that's a good deal. So I pulled out my checkbook or my bill folder and gave him cash or a check or whatever it was. I said, can you write that down? He sat right there and typed that little contract, wrote it down, and then he forgot about it. Everybody forgot about it because he only did that for a very few people. And I'd go in, and they'd say, well, your dues. I said, no, I don't have any dues. Oh, yes, you do. Everybody pay. I said, no, I don't. I carried it in my gym bag, and I'd say, I have a lifetime membership. They'd say, no, no, we don't have any lifetime. I said, oh, yes, we do. I'd lay that out. And they would look at that and say, wow, I hadn't seen one of those before. I didn't know it. I had it in writing. And so it trumped everything that had been spoken. And so the word of God trumps every dream you have, all the advice you got from Jimmy Swaggart, Kenneth Copeland, Steve Fender, and even Becky Fender. And that's good advice. I don't care who you got your advice from. The word of God trumps it all. All the feelings you've got. All your hormones raging. All the word of God is bigger than that. It is written. And so it's a wonderful thing to get very familiar with the voice of God. And you can trust that. It's the second greatest deterrent to deception. But the greatest thing is knowing the word of God. Listen to what he said in Galatians 1:7. Which is not another. He's talking about the gospel. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. He said, if anybody comes preaching anything to you except what the word of God is, let him be accursed. And friend, we don't always do that, especially in this age of talent, ability, propaganda, media. People develop such cult followings. Such cult followings that little by little they begin to be led off the path of truth. There's a lot of deception that goes on in Christian television. Some people do it because they want to do that. Some don't even realize they've been deceived, so they're deceiving other people. But he said, if they preach another gospel, let them be accursed, even though they come as an angel of light. The point I'm making is to become familiar with the voice of God is valid and very important. But you have to realize that the devil is not only a ventriloquist, he is a mimic, and he can make it sound angelic. I've told you 50 times of how the devil got me to leave San Antonio. God called me sovereignly to this city, and I went through hell to stay here. You remember I told you last year about the bomb that was put in our bus, and the bus driver, he emailed me the next day. He was watching a streaming video, and then he sent me the newspaper recording of it. And so I went through that bomb, but that bomb didn't scare me. I had people threaten me. That didn't scare me. They threw things at the church. That didn't scare me. They told all kinds of lies. That didn't scare me. But I had a little electrician that was wiring that old building down on Ridgewood for me, and he was a wonderful Holy Ghost-filled brother, and he was doing it for $200 a week. He rewired that whole building, and he brought his wife with him, and she was one of those old-time Pentecostal women. I mean, one of them kinds of praise, talks in tongues, shouts, wears the hair real high, no makeup, no jewelry, just them old-fashioned godly women where you just revere them. They just look like there's something different. She was one of those. And I never will forget how the devil used that woman. Now, when somebody's used by the devil, it doesn't mean they're devil-possessed. Doesn't mean that they even know they're being used by the devil. They might not have ever been used by the devil before, might not ever be used by the devil again. But see, you've got to take some responsibility for yourself. You've got to be able to hear for yourself. Here's what she said. She said, Brother Steve, and you know, we just got the church started. We had about 100 people, and I'd preached many revivals in their church. Had hundreds of people get saved and get filled with the Holy Spirit in the big church that she and her husband attended. She said, Brother Steve, I can't believe you've buried yourself in this little old church. She said, this ain't the will of God. You ought to be preaching in big churches, having big conventions like you used to have, and big crusades. She went on and on and on and on and on, and I sat there just like a little fish. I mean, I swallowed it, hook, line, and sinker. It wasn't 90 days later, I was gone from San Antonio, living in East Texas, traveling all over the country, preaching, just having a great time, except the knowing voice of God was telling me, I didn't call you to do this, I called you to San Antonio. Yeah, but that woman of God came. She came like an angel and told me how I was out of the will of God. God used that wonderful, precious saint of God to mislead me and cost me about 2 years of my life that I should have been right here doing what we're doing right now. The point is this. You've got to have strength in your character. You've got to have a spiritual discernment that you can know that is not the will of God for my life. It sounds good. I'm flattered by it. It's the easy way out. But it's not what God's told me in my life. And you've got to be able to discern between the voice of God and the voice of good. Because the voice of good is not always the voice of God. Sometimes it's just a good time. Sometimes it's just a good thing. Sometimes it's just good money. Oh, Pastor, we're moving our family over so-and-so. I remember, and he's a friend of mine right now on Facebook. But I pastored him and his wife, just a wonderful couple. And this is when we were in the first few years of our church. And they were just a wonderful couple. I had two little boys. I never will forget these people. And so he came to me one day, and this was in the 70s, and he was making $30,000 a year. In 1970-something, that was a pretty good bunch of money. He said, Pastor Steve, he said, I got a new job in Houston. He said, they double my salary. I'm going to make $60,000 in the 70s. He didn't say, you think that's God? He didn't ask my opinion. He didn't say, I prayed about it. He just said, I'm going to make $60,000. When I had a church in Kingwood, he showed up. But he showed up with a different wife. And he's a wonderful man. He still is today, still living for God today. But he talked to me privately without his present wife. And he said, it was the worst mistake I ever made. He said, it cost me financially. My wife went to work in a lawyer's office. She had an affair with him. She divorced me. I lost my boys. He said, and he went through this whole litany of things that had happened. Why? because he heard the voice of good, but it wasn't the voice of God. And he made a bad, bad mistake. And so we have people come to us consistently, praise God. Brother Harry, I hope you don't mind me doing this publicly. Brother Harry had an amazing opportunity to go and make a lot more money, but he prayed about it. And he talked to Sister Becky. And she didn't say, now, Harry, don't do it. We're just going to pray with you. We're not here to ruin your life, folks. We're here to help you. If you can move to Seattle and do better financially and do better physically and do better spiritually, that's what I want you to do. But I don't want you to go to Seattle and make $250,000 and lose your family and lose your marriage and lose your kids. So we're not going to tell you what to do. We're going to help you hear the voice of God. That's what we're trying to do, is train up people here. We're trying to develop people. This can't be a daycare forever. It can't be a kindergarten forever. After a while, you got to get a degree in hearing and say, I can hear the voice of God, and God has told me, yes, I need to move to Seattle, or God's told me, no, if I'll stay here, he's going to double or triple my salary, and even if he don't, he's got a ministry for me here. You've got to be able to hear the voice of God, and so become familiar with the voice of God. And after you've done this a while, you're much more familiar, but you can still make mistakes. You can still make mistakes. But it's easier to hear the voice of God after you become very familiar with it. The Bible teaches us that our ears should try words like our tongue tries meat. You know how that is, don't you? I tell you what, you can go over to Outback, and Outback is good. But it's not Ruth Chris. And it's not Fleming's. It's Outback. You can go to Golden Corral. Golden Corral is not Fleming's. If there's anybody eat at Golden Corral, am I the last person in this church eats at Golden Corral? I'll meet you all at Golden Corral Sunday afternoon, okay? I can't get nobody to go with me. I don't think it's cutting edge anymore. I don't think it's cool anymore. Friend, when I'm wolfing down those mashed potatoes, I don't care whether it's cool or not. Just the most money for the most food for the money for me. But I don't confuse Golden Corral with P.F. Chang's. It's two different deals. My tongue can test it, and I don't have to have somebody there telling me. But my ears are supposed to try words like my tongue tries meat. I can listen to somebody for a second and just say, man, this guy's off the wall. I'm not going to listen to him, not one second. I can tell that those words simply do not come from God. And so we need to have hearing words. We need to be able to discern what the Word of God is saying. I like John chapter 12, verse 28. It's when Jesus was standing with the disciples. A voice spoke out of heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." The disciples did not understand it was the voice of the Father. They said it thundered. They couldn't tell the voice of God from a storm. There's a lot of people that can't tell the voice of God from a storm. But Jesus perfectly understood the voice of the Father. Some, all they can hear is ear candy. That's all they can hear. If it's not good, they can't hear it. It just has to be good. It has to be superficial. The Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Now, I can tell you that church right there doesn't have a major television ministry, because major television ministries are not built on reproving, rebuking, and exhorting with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. What kind of an ear do you have? Do you have an itching ear? What does that mean? That means you want somebody to scratch it. Is there anything worse than an itch that you just can't reach? And I'm having more trouble now. My arms are not getting shorter, but they're just not as limber as they used to be. And you just can't quite. Well, people have itching ears today. In other words, there are certain things they want you to say. And then they just start saying them over and over. If I hear one more preacher say it's a setup, I'm going to have to do something hard and hurt somebody. It's a setup. It's a setup. I've heard every preacher in America say that now. We figured that out, okay? It's a setup. We understand that. And so we can move on to something else now. But that's the kind of things we want to hear. It's itching ears. What kind of an ear do you have? Do you want to hear truth? You see, those things that are ear candy don't set you free. It's the truth that sets you free. You know, I pretty much like 99% of all food. I eat a lot of healthy foods. I eat a lot of junk food, but I offset it because I like a lot. I eat a lot of salads. A lot of salads. And I attribute that to my dad, because my dad, he put it on the table. My dad was raised during the Depression, and he was hungry as a little boy. You go over to his little house over there, and he'd have this pantry, and he had enough food in there to feed this church for 2 or 3 months. He had canned goods stacked up. He just was always fearful that he was going to get hungry again in his lifetime. And he couldn't stand to see food wasted, because he didn't have enough when he was a little boy. And so the meal would be served. My mother's a great cook, and she cooked all kinds of different things, but she always put a lot of salads, a lot of healthy things, and that wasn't what I wanted, because she could make great banana pie. That's what I wanted. But my dad would say, "Steve, eat your salad." Come to the end of it, and I had not eaten my salad, and he said, "Just sit there until you eat your salad." And I mean, I'd sit there sometimes a couple hours. He'd pass through in the kitchen, "Get that salad ate yet?" I'm sitting there just looking at that salad. After a while, I realized that my time was more valuable than my distaste. And so I started eating things I did not think I liked, but I developed an appetite for them. Sometimes the preaching you like the best is not doing the most. Sometimes the preaching you like the least is doing the best. And so you just got ear candy. You just want to hear certain things all the time. You know, I was raised in legalism, you know that, and when I started preaching, I preached in all these legalistic churches, and so I was in East Texas, and it was the legalistic of all legalistic churches. I mean, they didn't believe in television, they didn't hardly believe, you couldn't listen to what they called worldly music, secular music, and the men had to wear long-sleeved shirts, when you played racquetball, you had to wear sweatpants, you could, I mean, just on and 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 on. And so I knew them like a book. I'd preach there a lot. And so I got up there one day, and I preached about all that stuff, and they literally started running around the building. They had heard that stuff 1,000 times. I preached against everything that I knew that they wanted me to preach against, and they just shouted and screamed and hollered, and they had it just burning into their brain. And finally, I let them sit down, and I started preaching about loving the lost. I started talking about intercession. It got just as quiet as death. And then I stopped. I said, "Do you all have a picture of yourself? Do you really understand how pitiful you all are? You will run these aisles over some woman not wearing jewelry. When I talk about lost souls, people that are lost, you ought to be getting them saved and loving them." I said, "Y'all are bored." The point is, they had their own private brand of ear candy. But when they heard something they should hear, they were just like me as a little boy. They said, "I'm not going to eat that." And they had a pastor that wasn't like my daddy. He fed them their ear candy every Sunday. That makes the gears grind, and it makes the machine continue. We need to hear some things sometimes we don't want to hear, because that's what makes us grow. That's what develops us. Sometimes we just need to grin and bear it. We just need to sit there and say, if you can't say amen, just sit there and say, "I don't really like that, but that's straight from the Word of God." Now, if it's my opinion, you have a right to veto it. You understand that. You have a right to say, "No." You know, the president's been, all the presidents are always wanting what they call a line veto. That means they can get a bill in and they agree with the bill, but they got certain things that they don't like. They can just line those things out and have a line veto and then go ahead and pass the bill. They don't have that authority to do that. But that's kind of what we ought to be able to do in church, and we do it, but we do it the wrong thing. We cross out the things we don't like when we should be leaving everything in except that which is not in the Word of God. If I preach something I have no scriptural basis for, even if I am your pastor, your bishop, you hear us and you say, "That is not in the Word of God. He has no scripture of that." It's all right to cross it out. Now, we might be able to say, as the Apostle Paul did, "In order for the unity of the church," that's an ordinance we're setting forth, but it's not the Word of God. But you ought to be able to know the Word of God, to know whether it's the Word of God or not. And so sometimes you need to hear some things that are not exactly what you're familiar with and what you like. It's not your favorite sermon. But you need to realize that is the Word of God, and I'm going to digest that whether I like it or not. It might be a little bitter, but it's going to turn sweet after a while. And so some have itching ears. Next, let's talk about this and try to wrap this up. Jesus was approached by the powers that be, the Roman soldiers. They were going to take him for his trial and eventually to his crucifixion. And we take this story up in Matthew chapter 26, verse 51. And behold, one of them which was with Jesus, that would be Peter, stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. According to the scripture in another reading, that man's name was Malchus. So here they come, and Peter realizes that these soldiers are coming to incarcerate Jesus. He certainly does not know the scripture well enough to realize that Christ is about to be crucified, but he does know he's going to be incarcerated, and he just has this holy indignation. He pulls his sword out, and he whacks off Malchus's ear. And so Jesus immediately rebuked him. And not only did he rebuke him, he reached down and he got that ear out of the dust, blew it off a little bit, made sure it was clean, got all the sand out, stuck it back on his head. You know, if I was one of those soldiers, I believe at that moment I would have thought, we might be arresting the wrong man here. Looks to me like that would have made a visible impression on you. Here's a man that can pick an ear up out of the dirt, stick it on somebody's ear. Gorilla glue has not even been invented yet. I go to my dentist and I said, "Dentist, I lost this cap." He said, "It seems all right to me." I said, "That's because I gorilla glued it in 4 days ago." That gorilla glue is amazing stuff. And it tastes pretty good. You put a little sugar with it. Now. But he stuck that ear on the side of Malchus's head and it stayed. And then Jesus said, "Testing, 1, 2, 3. He said, "I can hear. I can hear." Maybe that's not all recorded there, but that's basically what happened. And if you read the commentary on that, Jesus seriously rebuked Peter, and he said, "That's enough of that. We're not going to do this." He said, "This is the Father's will for me to be arrested." And he said, "Don't interfere." But the point is this. Jesus was as angry then as he was at any time in his ministry, and the reason being was that it was emblematic of the thing that hurts the heart of Jesus the most, and that is when you injure somebody in such a way that they cannot hear the voice of Jesus. That's the most important thing in your life is to hear the voice of Jesus. It's not just a great hymn, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. It's the eternal destiny of your life to be able to hear the voice of Jesus Christ. I hear the voice of Jesus Christ talking to me on a regular, daily basis. Is it always good? Sometimes it's rebuke. Sometimes it's him correcting me. But I'd rather hear the voice of Jesus in correction than I would to be deaf to his voice. I want to hear the voice of Jesus Christ. All four Gospels record the event of the severing of Malchus's ear. But only Luke is the only one that records the fact that Jesus healed the ear. You know why? Because he was a doctor and he knew what I saw was just a miracle. Then a doctor in the world could do that, he was saying. He realized that he was in the presence of Almighty God. When God gives you a hearing ear, you will realize as much as anything else, I'm in the presence of God. I now have a direct communication with the Lord. When you get to where you can hear the voice of God, it puts you in a very small minority. It puts you in a very small class of people, and it gives you a tremendous, tremendous emphasis to your life. I can hear God. God directs my steps. God warns me. God encourages me. And so what do you hear when you hear the voice of God? Somebody told me, "I don't go to church. The reason I don't go to church, I'm afraid that God will speak to me." They were afraid of the voice of God. Said one lady told me, she said, I'm afraid to get too close to God. I'm afraid that God will call me to be a missionary. And she said, I don't want to be a missionary. So people are fearful for the voice of God. I'm exactly opposite. I crave to hear the voice of God. What do you hear? Do you hear a voice that is fearful to you? Or do you hear another voice? The Bible said in 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 6, for the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots. The story is very simple. It's a great Syrian army numbering into the thousands. And there are four lepers, just four, that's all. Four lepers that said, why said we here till we die? And when they got up and they began to march, God made it sound like there were thousands of soldiers marching, and it produced fear to the Syrians that were against God's people. Ladies and gentlemen, the last day, God's voice will be a fearful voice to those that are antichrist. But to we which are Christians and followers of God, it's going to be a voice of encouragement. It's going to be a voice of instruction. It's going to be a voice of strength. And we're going to say, thank God, I can still hear the voice of God. What do you hear in this day and time? When I look at Fox News, when I look at CNN, when I pick up a newspaper, when I hear all the things that are happening, it doesn't produce fear to me. I hear the sound of abundance of rain. Because I know the scripture well enough to know the parallel to what's happening. There's going to be a great falling away, but there's going to be a great gathering. There's going to be violence, but there's going to be a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And so when I hear the voice of God, to me, it's the sound of an abundance. I'm like an Elijah. Nobody else could hear it, but Elijah said, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain in his case. But friend, when I hear the voice of God, it's always a sound of abundance. I'll give you all the peace you need. I'll give you all the love you need. I'll give you all the joy you need. I'll give you all the power you need. I'll give you an abundance. An abundance means more than you can see any way to use. And so, friend, my ear hears the voice of God. And for those of you that are not on a speaking relationship with God, I've got good news for you. And that is, God is speaking loud. And God is speaking profusely. And God's got a message. And it is, the last days of the church are going to be the most profitable days of the church. God is saying to us, if you will just humble yourself and pray, I'm going to roll back the scroll of heaven. I'm going to pour you out blessings that you cannot contain. Hallelujah. When David was surrounded in 1 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 13, when he's surrounded by a great array of Philistines, more than he could possibly combat, they were going to overrun them. They were going to kill them. He said, what shall I do? And God said, listen to this. He said, when you hear the going in the mulberry tree, that's the way one translation says it. Another translation said this, when you hear the running of feet in the mulberry tree. And others, when you realize that the angels are all around you, they're even in the treetops. He said, get ready, because it means that I am getting ready to give you a great victory. Some of you are missing out so much. You say, I'm depressed. It's because you can't hear the voice of God. So I wish I could hear the voice of my mother again. I do too. I wish I could hear the voice of my dad again. I do too. I wish I could hear the voice of dear friends that have gone on. Brothers and sisters, I do too. And all of those have their place. But the great thing is, I can hear the voice of God. And when I find that I am encircled, I'm totally encircled by the Philistines, I'm outnumbered with everything, I just say, Lord, speak to me. And the Lord said, listen for the sound in the mulberry tree, because I am going to give you victory. And it shall be, when thou shalt hear a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, then thou shalt go out to battle. For God has gone forth before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. David therefore did as God commanded him, and they smote the host of the Philistines from Gibeon even to Gezer. Oh, friend, I'm telling you, for those of you that are not on a conversational relationship with God, it matters a lot what the newsman says. It matters a lot what your boss says. It matters a lot what your enemies say. But those of you that learn to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, it doesn't matter who's in the White House. It doesn't matter who's in the State House. It doesn't matter what your boss says. It doesn't matter what the premier leader of North Korea says. It doesn't matter what Mr. Putin says, because I've heard from the Lord. And the Lord said, there's a going in the mulberry tree, and I am with you, and more that is for you than those that are against you. When you begin to hear the voice of God, you see, sight is a faith killer. Faith does not come by sight, it comes by hearing. And those of you that can hear the voice of God on a consistent basis, you'll live in fear and depression and despondency, because what you see looks like the ultimate sentence. But praise God, when you learn to hear the voice of God, you'll realize that what you're seeing doesn't mean a thing, because God is greater. And when God says it, it's going to happen. His words cannot return void. He will fulfill that which he has promised. He is not slack concerning his promise. When the doctor shows you your x-ray and says, look right here, mister, look here, sister, this is what's in your body, and they show you that picture and that x-ray, if you can't hear the voice of God, that old spirit of fear will just come up in your heart and nearly choke you in your throat. But if you can hear the voice of God, you can say, oh, whose report will I believe? I've heard the report of the Lord. I'm going to live and not die. I'm going to be blessed and not cursed. I'm going to be prosperous and an overcomer, praise God, because I've heard the voice of God. God's looking for somebody to talk to. I was with a man the other day, and I believe he's got the least personality of any person I've ever been around, or at least a long time. I wanted to pinch him once in a while just to make sure he's still alive. Rode in a car with him and look at him. Think, man, I don't even know where he would qualify in that, in what they call that lane where you got to have two or three people in Houston. I believe if they saw that guy, they'd say, no, you're by yourself. I mean, he was like being in a car by yourself. He sat in my office. I'd say something to him, and he'd just look at me. I mean, you talk about difficult to have a conversation with. I want to be easy to have a conversation with God. Oh, that's the reason why it's easier for me to talk to God. Boy, I tell you, you get people that know how to compliment you, you can talk to them all day. Is Luther Klein one of the finest guys you've ever met? Sits right there in his front seat. He said to me, just made my Sunday, just because it's Luther. Luther's older than I am. Luther's been in church all of his life. Luther was pastored by one of the greatest preachers that's ever been in America, Lowry, a guy named T.C. Lowry, Church of God. I mean, this guy, he just passed and went to be with the Lord. He was a mentor to Perry Stone, just an amazing preacher. And he just went to be with the Lord, 80-some years of age last year. That was Luther's pastor for years. Luther sat right here, and he's so quiet, and he gets close. He said, brethren, as a masterpiece. Boy, he said, I've been blessed with good pastors, but you're my best. Now, see, I don't care whether that's true or not. It's Wednesday, and I'm still thinking about that happened on Sunday. I don't remember what you said. You said a nice tie. Anybody can buy a tie. I mean, he's talking about something serious here. He's talking about something that's been my life. He knows how to communicate. The point I'm making, can you communicate with God? I promise you, if you talk to God in the right way, he'll talk back. I talk about him to him. You're a good God. You've never failed me. You've never let me down. You've healed me when I was sick, saved me when I was lost, gave me money when I was broke, food when I was hungry, been my companion when nobody else would, to give me the time of day. You've never left me nor forsaken me, praise God. You've covered all my mistakes, buried all my sins, changed my destination, redid my personality. Woo, what a God you are. I just talk like that 5 minutes. And for those of you that say, God ain't speaking, I just talk like that 5 minutes, and then I just stop, and all of a sudden God just starts rattling. Whoa, he just talks and talks and talks. And you know what he says? He said, "You're a wonderful son in whom I'm well pleased." Now everybody around me thinks it's thundering, but I'm saying, "Speak on, Father. Tell me some more." He said, "I'm well pleased with you." He said, "I'm like you, like I was by Job. I want the devil just to look at you. You've had opportunities to not quit, and you have not, and to quit, and you have not quit. You've had opportunities to stop, and you hadn't stopped. Oh, I love you, son. I've blessed you, but I'm going to bless you more. I've been with you, but I'm never going to leave. I'm going to carry you in my arms. I'm going to give you dreams you hadn't even had yet. I'm going to give you a healing in your body. I'm going to make you the healthiest old man in all of Texas, praise God. I'm going to make you a marvel." People are going to come and say, "How can you be like that at 68? And they're going to be saying more now when you're 88. Oh, I'm going to be a God that's going to put divine. Oh, the Lord just talks and talks and talks and talks and talks and talks. He said, "You think I've blessed you now? You just get ready. You think 2017 was something? You wait till we get there at 2018. He said, "You checked your bank account lately, Steve?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Circle it, because it's going to be bigger in December of 2018. I've got bread you've never eaten. I've got wine that you've never drank. I've got joy that you never had, mercy you've never known, grace you've never experienced, power you've never known. Oh, I'm going to tell you, I can hear the voice of God. Woo! And the Lord is looking for some people to bless. Not only are his eyes going to and fro, his mouth is wanting to get close to an ear that will listen and let him talk to you about your future. God wants to talk to you about your future. You know, if you could get to where you could, I got to stop. But if you could get to where you could hear the voice of God about your future, you'd never be depressed again. You'd never be discouraged again. You'd never contemplate backsliding again. You'd never ask foolish questions again like, "God, have you forgotten me? Why not, God? How come I..." You'd never do that if you got to where you could hear the voice of God. Because God is not immune to lay you out a plan and say, "You don't know what I've laid out for you. I've got this plan laid out for you. But the time you hit February the 12th, this is going to happen. And May the 3rd, this is going to take place. Woo! And you ought to see what's going to happen in July for you. And you ought to see what's going to happen to your children. You know your children that are living like the devil? Oh, don't weep too much. Just confess. Because that child is going to come back and make you so proud, because they're going to rise up and call you blessed. And they're going to say, "Thank you, Mama. Thank you, Daddy, for living the truth for me when I was a little hellion." Oh, the Lord wants to reveal things to you. But he can't do it if you're deaf. You got to open up your ears. You got to become sensitive. You got to hear his voice. You've got to be able to discern his voice from all the other voices. You got to be able to turn off the television. You got to be able to quieten down the noise. You got to have what the Bible calls a secret place of thunder. A secret place of thunder where you can get that your cell phone never even goes in that room. Praise God. Nobody else is allowed in that room. You don't take your friends in there. It's not your kitchen table where you play cards. It's a little secret place where you and God go, and God knows when you get there, it's time to start speaking, because you're going to be listening for his voice. And God begins to unroll the things that he has prepared for you. You talk about motivation for life. You talk about zeal for living. You talk about encouragement. You can't be encouraged by a preacher like you can be encouraged by the voice of God. There is no comparison. I don't care whether it's me or whether it's Brother Jakes. No preacher in the world can encourage you like your Maker can encourage you if you learn to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. And I'm closing, but he said it more than once. He that hath an ear, hear what the Spirit says, get away. Never recorded. Every time the Spirit speaks, it's saying, come, come, come. That's what God is saying to you right now. Come into my presence. Come into my presence. And everything you seek, and everything you long for, and everything you desire, you will find in my presence. Pastor Becky, is there somebody in this house right now that the voice of God is speaking to? And you say, "Pastor, I just kind of need to come and open up my ears. I need to come and make sure I can hear the voice of God, because I want to hear the voice of God in my life. God speaks to me, not in an audible voice. If you're in the room, you can't hear it, but it's audible to me. I have an ear to hear the voice of God. It guides my life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you saw the development back here, they're developing this shopping center, and IKEA is going in next door. And we're going to have a road from our back parking lot all the way to 1604 with exits to Pat Booker and Shin Oak. It's going to be great. It's going to be better than it's ever been. Pastor Brandon asked me a few years ago when he saw that in writing, he said, how did you think when you were buying this land to think so many years ahead and say, oh, by the way, we need an easement out of this property? I'll tell you exactly how it happened. I was sitting there ready to sign the paper, and all of a sudden the voice said, you better get an easement out of the back of this property. I said, oh, I need an easement. That guy didn't care. He's dead and gone already. He's an Italian from Chicago I was dealing with 20 years ago. He didn't care. Yes, sir, we'll write it right in there. But the only reason we got an easement is the voice of God spoke. Other words, we'd have a traffic jam right out here on this road every Sunday. God does things just that detailed in your life. And praise God, God's wanting to tell some of you where to go to apply for a job. He's wanting to tell some of you where to go to meet your mate for life. God wants to speak to you, but he speaks and you can't hear. But God wants you to develop a hearing ear. Can you come to this altar tonight and just make that a request to the Lord? Lord, open my ears that I might hear, because God, I want to be in that kind of relationship with you. Becky?
Speak.